Welcome to the Transformation Cafe with your host, Robin Misevich. Transformation Cafe, a weekly half hour of light, topical conversation about health, wellness, happiness, personal growth, spirituality, and other insights. We're glad you're here. Transformation Cafe, a fun place to nourish your soul. Now, let's get started and introduce our diners for tonight's show.
Well, hey, everyone. I want to welcome you to the Transformation Cafe. I'm your host, Robin Misevich. And boy, I just want to do a shout out for all our regular cafe diner listeners that are check us out on a regular basis. We just so appreciate you. Love to have all your questions, comments, and just letting us know all the different ideas you'd like to have for shows. So we just like to, you know, again, thank you for that. And I'm going to go ahead and have my wonderful co-host, Miss Amy Frost, come on. Hi, Amy. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing great. Excited to come out on third base here, rounding home.
Yeah, we're doing a cafe book club, and the book we're looking at right now is Passion, Spirit, and Purpose by Anna Weber. And boy, tonight we're going to be talking about turning dysfunction into go function. I love that. The power of chicken soup and rising in love. So there's a few things with some different chapters that Anna had shared about that stuff. So any kind of a recap that you'd like to do from last week, Amy?
No, I don't.
You jump on in there. Yeah, so last week we had some, you know, we were really looking at chapters 13 through 17. And just as we've been setting along here, we just been so blessed with all the different books that we've looked at. Just when we go back and look at all the different ones between Elizabeth Gilbert with Big Magic and then Amy Cuddy with Presence. And boy, just some really great books. So we really encourage everybody to go back and look into our archives. But yeah, we were talking all the different stuff that we talked about last time. We're talking about the unknown. That was a really good chapter. And I think one of the things I loved about that is, you know, it seems that every chapter, Anna has just a new, unique way of really talking about that everything lies within you for empowerment. You know, looking at, you know, that your unique voice, your unique inner voice that you have, and then how it's important to be able to just always ask the questions. And if you go back to our first show, we were talking about the Doxa method, which is desire, outstanding, Xing out the impossible, and allowing you to be totally you. And then she has her formula of really looking at being able to be empowered through looking through the ABCs of the Doxa method. So it's really great stuff to go back and review up. So tonight, right off the bat, chapter 18 is the things that she's learned that can help you to go faster. And that's what we're talking about, that's dysfunction into go function. And, you know, it's just like every... Yeah, isn't that cool? I just thought that was so great when she did that. I was like, yeah, when I read that. And it's doing it your own way. And one thing I really loved, and she says, it's about when you have those voids in your life, it's really an invitation to be tapping into your authentic inner voice and being able to listen to that, empower that, you know, giving yourself the time to get quiet and just to put a pause button on for just a second to be able to really hear yourself and be able to tap into that inner wisdom. And she's got different stories that happened with that in chapter 18 that I thought were really great. So anything with that, Amy, you want to go ahead and kind of do some highlights on that one?
Well, I think with 18, I think it's important to really look at the, you know, start looking at the parts in your life and, you know, what kind of the storylines have you had and maybe how can you use those to help you to, you know, to maybe do some quantum leaps forward. So instead of using your past to beat yourself up, but looking at how do I use my past to help me leap forward.
Well, just recognizing that they are the gifts of being able to do that. We're getting in these last few chapters. Anna's really just coming from just a very authentic and real self about all the different experiences that she's had in her life and how she's really taken them on as gifts that really made her to who she is today. And I mean, you know, that's just a wonderful way to be looking at all the different trials and tribulations that we have in life sometimes. They help to mold us and make us into the people that we're meant to be. Being able to have compassion and a new understanding of being very open-hearted when it comes to, you know, looking at people's circumstances. Because, boy, if you haven't lived through it yourself, it makes it a little more difficult to be able to have that, you know, compassion. Because in the chapter 18, she talks about how she had scarlet fever when she was a child and she was actually isolated for, gosh, almost 3 weeks. and mm-hmm. didn't have the opportunity to be able to be with her mom and dad. And that really taught her a lot. And I think that was really a gift of being able to be in a place where, you know, being able to be comfortable with yourself. And there's so many people in the world that really have a hard time being alone. And being able to embrace that. I think that was something that she was given as a gift when she was really young. So it helped her to be able to appreciate that much more when she started feeling better and being able to persevere for all that stuff. And in that same chapter, she talks about the healing of chicken soup, which I love is, you know, it's one of those things that's just, you know, it's being mothered and having that, you know, natural, you know, components put together for being able to help everybody with wellness. And she really talks about how it was made with love and just all the ingredients and the time and the effort. And I think that's just so important that we really, you know, that's one thing I've really learned about being, you know, being a wife and the mother and all the stuff that I've had going on. And even just with friends, the breaking of bread and being able to be together and have it be something that really nourishes you, both your soul and your tummy. So it's always just really a good thing. Because you always talk to people about, you know, when you think about when people have reminisced about different experiences and stuff like that, people always go to food on a certain level. Like, oh, remember that meal and we all had a great time. And, you know, it always goes back to those experiences of like something that really can just enrich an experience by having all being able to enjoy and have all your senses being able to be appreciated. So go ahead, Aime.
Well, as I said, about having comfort food. I mean, don't you think that's, mm-hmm. that's a large part of what that is? It helps remember a time that you felt safe or protected. So let's go back to last week, chapter 14. She talked about hearing the inner voice. And part of that, she talked about during the next week or this last week, eat foods that love you back and listen to your body. Well, this is almost, you're putting the love into that food for yourself and those that you care about so that love, that food can come back to you in love. So it's almost like, mm-hmm. so before we were looking at what are those foods that love us, now, how do we put that love into that food, and you know, in many different ways? How we serve it, how we cook it, how we make ritual around it, I think are all, you know, really important.
Yeah, I agree. That's well said. Well said when it comes to something like that. And it's just being able to have that as just that nurturing thing, and then over and over again in these. And these different stories that Anna's sharing about, you know, her mother made chicken soup for her. And then as her mom's gotten older and started to have her health issues, she's been able to return the favor by making soup for her mother and have it being something that brought her wellness as well. So there's been, you know, the full circle of wellness and love, you know, through the making of chicken soup. So it was just a very, very awesome thing. And being able to have that, something that it's more than just the soup. It's what it represents on just such wholeness and wellness and having it be really wonderful to have all that stuff as components for just, you know, having everything going really well with everything. And then she goes on in chapter 19, she talks about her immigration. And Anna started out as a Romanian and her mom had decided to move them to Israel. And while she was in Israel, she wound up working in a kibbutz, which is agricultural kibbutz. So a farm where she was basically taken to be working with other kids. And I love how she talked about when she was little, her first job was collecting the eggs. And she was having a hard time with the chickens and didn't know if she was going to be able to make it there. And she'd gone to go visit her mom and came back. And she said to cheer herself up, she started singing. And then she noticed that the chickens were all like really happy that she was singing to them. I thought that was really great. So the chickens calmed down and they were able to actually make more eggs. And the more she sang, the more the chickens produced more eggs. So it just kind of shows that the connection between the animals and herself and being in a place. I think it was all about her connecting to herself and how, you know, her environment was basically saying yes around her because she was able to calm down and have there be something that was beneficial for everybody. So that was a cute little part of her taking, you know, a situation and that she definitely was not happy about. And like she's always talking about, you know, make it into something positive. You can, if you have a void, you know, seek to fill it with positivity. And here she was singing and making it something positive. And then, you know, having her environment with the chickens and all that respond to her. So I thought it was a good metaphor for all that. So, and then goes on to how she was able to have her mom met a man and fell in love with him and had it be where something with their whole life turned around by just, you know, seeking to be positive in these circumstances that she had going on with all that. So any insights on that chapter, Amy, that you'd like to share?
Yeah, for me, it was a bit different. For me, it was really about where are the voids in your life and really looking for what are the things that are causing you to yearn or to feel something's not quite right. Something is empty. And then she talked about how her having that sadness and, you know, the singing, you know, helped to fill that void, and that she was able to collect more and more eggs every day. Magically, the void had become self-confidence. So by looking for those voids, that's what I want to support people in this week, is instead of looking for an answer, stop and look at where are the voids and let the void speak to you.
That's great. I love how you put that. Yeah. So, you know, whether it's, not being able to get along with the chickens or, you know, whatever that void looks like.
Or something isn't happening in your life, right? Or, you know, your battery is getting charged. So you might want to look at, what could that mean to me? What is that void about?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Life being able to give you a metaphor for being able to look at that, probably, hopefully from a different perspective. And being able to see
I think that's one of the great things about doing a book club is you can all look at the same material, and however many people are in your club and having conversations, if there's five people, there could be five different ways of looking at that reading for the week and what you did with it.
Mm-hmm. And how enriching that is to really have those different perspectives. Yeah, I think that's really just so much about what the book club is about. So. In chapter 20, we're looking at love from a different perspective. And I really love how she talks about, she says, why do we call it falling in love and not rising in love? Is love falling into a hole, or is it more like soaring through the sky and riding the currents aboard a hang glider? And I love how she talked about rising in love. It's not instead of falling in love, I'm rising in love. Because really, that's what it feels like anyway. So I thought that was really great, the way she talked about that. Because you might think that love at first sight is a myth. But she said, I can tell you, just looking at, she goes on to about, you know, when her first loves and things like that, when she first looked at a young man that she had seen across the room, she definitely felt like there was a connection, and she felt a little hypnotized by the whole experience. So it's really sweet, the different, just very personal stories that Anna shares about her life and the insights that she received from that, from being able to look at love from a different perspective. And then as you go through the chapter, she talks about these different experiences that she had that really helped her to come just to a new appreciation of what love is and what it isn't. And just through her different kinds of choices that she had. So anything with that one, Amy?
Well, something that I think became clear in this chapter was, are you settling in any areas of your life? Mm-hmm. And just taking some time, and I mean, what would settling look like for you? What would it feel like for you? So I think...
Yeah, it's almost, we could talk about how it's turning that dysfunction into go function. It goes right back into that last chapter about being able to see, you know, how do I move into, you know, these positively and help it be in a place that's just really good for me and supporting me and all the things that I know to do and supporting myself. So
part of it is these very small, easy chapters, right? But some really big questions that,
really big questions.
Take some time to really be with and really be honest with yourself, and take the time to say, you know, again, that one simple question, where am I settling in my life? We could spend the rest of our life working on that one.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, in some ways, I think we're meant to, depending on where we have what we have going on. So,
in chapter 20... increasing our territory. So I think that would be kind of the void would appear, the things settling because I'm staying with where I was. So I think that's kind of, it's almost like a cycle, right? If you're transforming, right? If you're growing, there's going to be a point where settling may be, I'm staying too long in a place I'm too comfortable at.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that happens a lot. You know, I'm comfortable, so why move, kind of thing. So that really rolls into chapter 21. It's called What is Love and How Can It Last? And boy, she's got pretty much two full page, at least a page and a half of just different questions that you can ask yourself. Because she said, you know, start by looking at love in your own life and ask yourself the questions. Take some time to think about them and to write them down and then to answer. She says, powerful tools of self-examination and personal growth. So, you know, just a few of these is love suffocating you? Do you express love? Does love grow with time and respect? Is chemistry the most important component of love? So, gosh, like I said, there's over about a page and a half of these different questions.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's really good to be able, because like, I mean, in some ways people just say, well, I just fell in love. But a part of it could be, you know, what is love for me? And I think part of it could be in relationship love with others, but also looking at it from yourself, you know, being able to have a reflection of like, you know, how am I, you know, doing self-care and self-love, and what would that look like for me if I was just thinking on an aspect of myself? What would that look like? You know, it's like, what are the facets of love for myself personally, as opposed to being in a relationship with another? How is that just relating to me? So I think that's a really good way of being able to expand it and just explore it for yourself. To see, you know, how that feels for you. So what did you think of the questions, Aime?
I think there's something that would be very helpful in taking the time to really answer those questions and really look at, yeah, what is love for me? What are the mm-hmm. parts of that? You know, and it's something that's coming to me to talk a little bit about is the codependence in love. And I know that you've done a lot of work in looking at, am I really in a healthy relationship or not? You know, I can't think of her name. The woman who did all the writing on codependence.
Oh, Melody Beatty.
There you go. And then mm-hmm. for some reason that's coming up. Beatty. Yeah. Is there anything coming up for you with that?
Yeah. Cause I mean, if you look into codependency, I mean, we can be addicted to anything. So, and, you know, we definitely, you know, our society perpetuates that of being addicted to a person, and as opposed to just being able in a, being in a mutual, you know, sharing relationship with one another. So really looking at how are you with that, and then how you would be in reaction or in relationship to another. And I think that's really good to be able to see, you know, is it healthy? Is it something that really supports you and also the person that you're engaged with and having the relationship with? So for me personally, it really helped me because I just love the 12 step. I think it's such a great thing that I think everybody should, you know, at least, you know, look at it and have some kind of a workshop or something that you would actually walk through that and be able to do that. I'd like to see it be something that, you know, even, you know, in grade school, people take a look at that. I know I've heard, you know, when I was really going through 12 step that, that a lot of elementary school, like, you know, like fifth, sixth graders, we're actually using that because Melody Bailey has a couple different books that's basically a daily read that you can go ahead and take a look at that. And she really looks at all the different aspects of codependency and just the mindsets and things like that of, you know, what's healthy in a relationship as just something that can be harmful. So it's something that I've heard that through just personal growth and development with different stuff. And sometimes it's included in the health class. And sometimes it's also included into writing, you know, when it comes to part of the English stuff where they would explore different kinds of parts of relationship and be able to write them. So I think that's really cool that that's something that's been integrated into some educational programs. So that's cool.
Well, and something that comes to me, I've done quite a bit of writing and work personally and professionally myself and with others on setting boundaries. And mm-hmm. I think that's an important part of love and negotiation. So, and of course, you're always negotiating boundaries all the time. But part of that, of course, is getting clear about what are my boundaries? What, you know, and it's Robert Frost, my cousin, a quote of his I love is, good fences make good neighbors. But you've got to be really mm-hmm. clear about what does that fence look like, and it shifts and it changes over time. So I think that's why it's so important to be asking these questions, because otherwise, you just kind of, you know, I was talking to somebody today who's feeling very taken for granted in with her kids and with her husband. And part of that is they're so used to her being there and taking care of everything. And I think they kind of take things out on her because she is a safe place. So we were talking today about maybe you need to look at, you know, where is it that you need to stand on your haunches a little bit more and say, no, you can't just come to me just when you want something, but not care about me or worry about me until you're looking for me to take care of you somehow.
And that's a very common, yeah, that's a common codependency, having that kind of dynamic that can happen. Because like if you become a safe person, then, you know, there can be, you know, verbal, you know, people going overboard with the verbal stuff because it's kind of changes the dynamics of that. So that reminds me of a program and a book that I'd gone through with all that with Henry Cloud and John Townsend called Boundaries.
And that work.
Yeah, it's excellent. Yeah, excellent work. And if you've never heard of Henry Cloud or John Townsend, I know, you know, take the time to look at some of the different programs and stuff that they have. It's very exceptional work that has to do on just personal growth and boundaries and relationship work that they've done over the years. So just really excellent different kinds of programs that they have out there. So can't recommend them highly enough. They've just do some really great stuff. So Anna goes on to say, love is something we all seek, but how it manifests for you, it can be unique, intimate, and individual. So, you know, again, it's just like everybody's, you know, personal things, being able to look at all that. And she said, to learn to have your own filters, to wish for and manifest the right things. And that's why that's something that she had to learn, to replace her voids with authentic inner voices. And, you know, being able to have the good judgments of different things. So I think that's something that, you know, through time and experiences, I can have that. And then just really seeking to be learning and just really sharing ourselves with others. I think it's so important to be able to have those different things with that. So anything else with that, with the love chapter, Amy?
No, it's what's coming to me and is just really about setting healthy boundaries. And I'm going to...
Yeah, just really coming from, you know, looking at love in ways that we can be supporting one another, having healthy relationship and having something that, you know, definitely with a communication and having things that we share with one another. So
from about, and here's some questions where you would, what you would do is you rate yourself from 1 to 5. So let me give you those areas. So you would do, I know I'm able to set goals to achieve my life dreams. I am able to have compassion with myself. I practice healthy self-care. I know my personal mission. I listen to my instincts, and I know who I am.
Those are all long journaling questions.
If you're not doing that, then how do you know, how can you love somebody else and how can somebody else love you?
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
It makes total sense. Yeah, it really does.
So I think that's those are some of the things that, you know, to bring to the table, you know, that could really be helpful. One of my favorite exercises with knowing who I am is, and I think we've probably done this together before too, where you get a piece of paper and you just write, I am, and then finish the sentence, I am, and you finish the sentence. And the first couple of rounds are kind of, you know, don't really mean much. And I challenge people to do it for at least 5 minutes. Just set a timer and keep going. And after a couple of minutes, you kind of, you know, get rid of things. But the last few minutes, it can really get profound. And things will start coming out. You had no idea were in there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and along with that, too, is using your non-dominant hand.
Oh, yeah, you certainly can.
We've talked about that on the show before, where you actually connect to a different part of your mind when you use your non-dominant hand. And it gives you an opportunity to see a different voice that can come out. So that's another neat experience to, you know, to give yourself, to have that with, you know, with the I am with your non-dominant hand, which would probably be interesting to try to do that for 5 minutes. But I don't know, you might get pretty good at it. I know when I was doing journaling, I would have it where one hand I would write, start out with my right because I'm right-handed, and then I'd switch to my left hand on my second page. And it was interesting how the voice kind of changed, the perspective kind of changed. Have you had that happening? You've worked that as an exercise?
Oh, my God. Oh yeah, absolutely. And there's just so many ways that you could do it, you know, depending on how you wanted to. You can also ask, you know, questions of all kinds, and then go from the non-dominant hand. But and just kind of play with it. I think that's probably a large part of what we're trying to say, as you know, as diners ourselves, right, at Transformation Cafe, is just to try different things. You know, especially if they feel a little uncomfortable, that's where, you know, getting out of your box, as it were, is a very, very helpful thing.
You know, and that's one thing Anna talked about before. You know, we had a great chapter where she talked about that, where, you know, getting your mind out of that comfort zone, out of the box, and being able to go to this totally different perspective, that, you know, it's the mind map where the, you know, you just literally go on to a different place, you know, you literally switch to a different location because you've allowed yourself to bring a new knowledge and just a new perspective that can totally just change your direction and where you're going to go with something and have it be that much more supporting and beneficial for yourself.
Well, next week
we've got Miss Anna with us. Yeah. Miss Anna will be joining us for our final show, and we're going to be talking about, you know, every day is a celebration, which I love, and we'll be able to celebrate with her, and I think that's just so great. And we'll just be kind of do a recap of the show, all the different things in the book and stuff, and some highlights and things that she might want to go ahead and talk about, and you know, what's her next book. With this book was kind of funny because they were just like, you know, they were like, what's your next book? She's like, I don't think I have another book. And then she winds up writing this one, this Passion, Spirit, and Purpose. So, you know, and she said that. She goes, I didn't think I had another book in me. And we're so glad that she, you know, she followed that authentic inner voice and, you know, put it down on paper so people can just really benefit from her inside, her growth, her change, and just being able to be that much, you know, to be authentic and sharing it with the world. I just think it's, you know, it's such a blessing.
Well, it's going to be fun to see where she's at now that the book is officially out and, you know, she's been getting feedback on it. It'll be fun to hear.
Yeah, well, definitely with the feedback. So just want to encourage everybody to, if you do have the book, go through some of the love questions and maybe play a little bit with your non-dominant hand and see what kind of works out with that. We'd love to have any feedback with the transformation-cafe.com and any questions or ideas. We look forward to that. So I want to thank you all for joining us. Thank you, Miss Amy, as always.
My pleasure. My honor.
Okay. And we'll see you next time here at the cafe.
We hope you enjoyed listening to the Transformation Cafe podcast. To learn more, visit transformation-cafe.com for show notes, guest information, and links to previous shows. You can also subscribe to the Transformation Cafe podcast on iTunes. Join us again next time at the Transformation Cafe, a fun place to nourish your soul.